Once a week, everybody grabs the Thursday edition of the Wall Street Journal and picks up the middle seat column that Scott McCartney writes and waits for it and learns something and agrees or disagrees. Scott McCartney's our guest right now. It's good to have you back.
Good to be with you.
See, we're here the other day. We were talking about the best and the worst airports. But you talk about every aspect of aviation. And let me just start with this premise. It is a beating.
Yeah.
To travel now.
Yeah.
I mean, not just compared to the way it used to be. It's just a beating. I think there's more anxiety. You got to wait. In fact, the CEO of Vonlane was in, you know, the bus company that
sure.
goes to Houston and Austin and
yeah.
now soon to Oklahoma City. And they're printing money because everybody wants, you know, nobody wants to fly. Might as well go on a nice coach.
Yeah, no, I think that's really true. I think there is a. There is a different flying experience if you are tip-top elite level, if you're getting upgrades all the time, you're using the lounge, the club, you know, the airline treats you better than they treat the rest of us in coach. But I think, you know, the fundamental change that has gone on in recent years has been the dense packing of the coach cabin. And I think it's had ramifications far beyond what airlines realize.
You know, I just didn't think that was going to be so. See, once the airline ended, I say, well, we'll grant you an oligopoly. All right, so,
yeah.
you know, Delta has Atlanta and American, you know, has North Texas and Chicago's got United or wherever you divvy up the country so you're not beating your heads against each other so these guys can sit back and make money. And they ought to be making a lot of money.
And they are.
Well, then why do they... When do they stop?
What?
I mean, why do they keep making the seats smaller?
You know, interesting question. I've thought there was room for an airline to say enough. The pendulum has swung too far. We're going to start doing it. And we see some of that at Delta. I mean, Delta is really performing differently from United and American in particular. Much more reliable. They realized that was important to people. They have not crammed in as many seats in some airplanes. They've done things like starting to bring back nice meal service for coach passengers and international flights. But that said, it sort of goes all the way back as you and I do to, you know, Bob Crandall saying, "Hey, if we take the olives off the salad, we can make more money." And so the seat manufacturers have come up with designs of seats, and they said, "Hey, you can put two more rows in, and not you'll have the same knee room or something." Well, but what's left out of that equation is you put two more rows in, and there are more people competing for the same overhead bin space. And my head is closer to you. You may have finagled the seat so that the magazine pouch is gone and my knees are okay, but my nose is a whole lot closer to your nose. And that's uncomfortable.
And if that guy in front of me leans back any further, I'm going to eat my laptop.
Yeah, or if the guy behind you sneezes, you just won.
I'm just amazed. I mean, every once in a while somebody tries. Virgin America came along.
Yeah.
With, I thought, a clearly superior product. You know, better seats and more leg room and lighting and all that kind of stuff. They just couldn't carve it out.
Well, yeah, it some of it goes back to what you were talking about with the oligopoly, and if you don't have an incumbent position, right? So Virgin America comes along and they're trying to get into San Francisco. Well, United's got a huge lock on the frequent flyer base in San Francisco because they want their miles, they want their status, they want their. And San Francisco is very competitive. Silicon Valley, all the tech companies. Same with Los Angeles. Los Angeles already has five airlines hubbing in Los Angeles. So if you're Virgin America, where is there room for you? And, you know, they had a nice boutique product, and they got a loyal following among some people, but. At some point, you got to get into the masses, and they couldn't do that.
It used to be that you could find funding for a new startup. I mean, we used to report on,
yeah.
you know, a new startup a week, and somebody would, you know, pull five airplanes out of the desert in Arizona and start a new airline with some kind of new wrinkle. And the barriers to entry are, I guess, too great. That's why I thought maybe competition should come back. Maybe that's the answer. But part of the idea is making this money. And I think this goes back to the 737, this MAX, which was going to be the most fuel efficient and best thing for the airline industry. in ages. How much is it set back, the industry in general, not to have availability of that fuel-efficient plane?
I think it's had significant financial impact on airlines because they haven't been able to grow at a time when the economy has been good for them, and they should be growing. For Southwest Airlines to not be growing, you know, that really hurts. They're not bringing in new employees and new airplanes that don't need maintenance, and so everybody gets a little more senior.
Well,
but there's no growth.
Well, they're having to do a little rob from Peter to pay Paul. I mean, you got to they back out of cities, left Newark completely.
Right.
I guess to support the startup of Hawaii.
Yeah, and now what's interesting is when the MAX does come back, they have an incredible opportunity. They've got enough MAXes sitting parked everywhere, including the employee parking lot at Boeing, where they can basically add a new airline. It'd be an airline about the size of Frontier with all the Southwest MAXes. So they can decide where they, you know, make a big push someplace that they really would have struggled to get enough airplanes to do that. It's going to be really interesting when the MAX comes back to see how that does change the competitive landscape.
And really, that's one of the generations, but I mean, Airbus has the Neos. They're retooling the bigger jets, the 777s and everything else, bigger, more fuel efficient. That can be change. That can affect change on the industry.
Yeah, well, you know, the MAX thing, you look at it as a setback on many levels. And I think, look, the reality was the 737, when Boeing made the decision to do the MAX, they were weighing whether to do that or do a completely new airplane. And they needed to do a completely new airplane. The 737 was out of date. But they were under pressure from Airbus. And it was really American that, you know, at once upon a time had an all Boeing contract. They weren't going to fly any Airbus. And then they were about to put in this huge order for the Neo with Airbus. And Boeing said, okay, we'll build the MAX because we don't want to lose your business.
That's right. And then America ended up splitting their order.
Yeah. No, they did. And, you know, it's a huge setback for Boeing and by extension for travelers, too. You know, a new airplane would have taken a whole lot longer, but a new airplane with all kinds of efficiencies and more passenger comfort would have been better in the long run.
Yeah, you must really like your job. I would think, I would think being, you know, the travel editor for the Wall Street Journal of all things, where you've got all these road warriors and really opinionated individuals, that'd be a fun audience and a lot of good fodder and a lot of difference from writing for Travel and Leisure or something.
It really is, and I do love my job. People who travel regularly, they're very passionate about it. It's very important to their lives, and so when you can help explain why bad things happen to good travelers and really sort of you know, help them figure out better ways to do things. That's very rewarding.
Well, we enjoy reading it and will for a long time to come, right?
Yes.
There you go. Scott McCartney is Wall Street Journal's travel editor, columnist for the Middle Seat column and lots more. It's always good to visit with you, sir.
Great to be with you,
Thanks.
David.
For more of our conversation with Scott, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.